Good morning. Nate, if you can load up the first slide here. So you'll see a picture of a fun Lego statue. And this Lego statue, it's made out of many different pieces. And if I just took one or two of those Lego pieces, yeah, they'd be cool and I could build something from them. But I wouldn't get the complete picture without all of those Lego pieces together. It's like a mosaic. If I took one piece apart from the mosaic, yeah, it'd be nice looking, but it wouldn't be the complete picture. And so, in the same way, if we just had followers of Jesus who are Jews, yes, it'd be a beautiful thing of followers after Jesus, and yet it wouldn't be the complete picture. It wouldn't be the full mission of God if Gentiles also weren't given the opportunity to come to him. Pastor Jesse just read for us earlier a couple Old Testament passages, one from Genesis and one from Jonah. In the passage in Genesis, God is calling Abraham, who was then called Abram, out of his land, out of his father's house. At this time, this is where Abram should have normally stayed. He should have naturally just grown up in his father's house, lived there, and then when his father died, he would take over the household. But God called Abraham to leave it, and so he did. He went to a foreign land that God had called him to. And in this call, God promises to make him into a great nation, which we know to be Israel. However, in that passage, he also says, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We know that in Galatians 3, that Paul clarifies this to be that God is saying that the gospel would be brought to the Gentiles, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And he was communicating this gospel to Abraham. It says in Galatians 3:7, you know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. The other passage that Pastor Jesse read was from Jonah. And just prior to this passage, Jonah has brought this message of impending destruction to Nineveh, this Assyrian city, a city of great evil. It's a city of great wickedness. And upon hearing this message, the people turn and repent. And Jonah is enraged. He's furious that God accepts the repentance. He understands that this is what God was intending to do, that he is a God of faithful love, of mercy and compassion. And Jonah is angry with that. But God makes clear here that his love extends beyond the Jews, that he is concerned about people beyond the Jews, concerned about a city of 120,000 plus people, not just the Jews. And so we know as we look back into Scripture, as we look to Genesis, to Jonah, Isaiah, and many other passages, that the message is to extend beyond the Jews. As we journey through Acts, we continue to go back to Acts 1:8, where Jesus promises the disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's this promise and command given to them. But I wonder when they first heard these words, what they really thought that he meant by to the ends of the earth. Like, did they just think that to the ends of the earth meant to all the Jews that were scattered around? Or were they thinking yet about the Gentiles? Because God had made it clear in the Old Testament the message was to go beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. But as you saw last week, as Pastor Caleb preached, Peter is asked to explain why he is eating with the Gentiles. He's asked to explain why he is associating with them. Because according to the law, that would be wrong. That would be unclean. Peter has to explain to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem the vision that he's had concerning Cornelius and the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the Gentile believers there in Joppa. When they hear this message, the Jews respond in worship. They respond in repentance for not understanding. After I hear this message from Peter and this explanation from Peter and the response of the Christians in Jerusalem, I would think naturally that if I'm reading this story for the first time, having not read it before, that Luke would immediately point us to a story about Jerusalem sending missionaries out to go share the gospel with Gentiles. Or maybe even a story of how they preached to the Gentiles in Jerusalem. I figured that this would be the first example of this being done after Peter explains this miraculous way of how God works in a vision about Cornelius and his household, that repentance is offered to the Gentiles. But it's not Jerusalem. Instead, we find ourselves in Antioch. Antioch was a very large city. It was considered the third largest city in the Roman Empire, just after Rome and Alexandria in Egypt. About 500,000 people lived there. It was founded by Seleucus, a Macedonian Greek general who succeeded Alexander the Great. He loved to name cities after his father, Antiochus. In fact, Seleucus founded many cities named Antioch, but this particular Antioch was the largest of those cities, and it was located in Syria. It was also called Antioch on the Orontes, as it was just to the east of the river. We'll see here on this map, up on the screen, that it was north of Jerusalem. It was about 300 miles away from Jerusalem. The city would have taken about 2 to 3 weeks to travel to on foot from Jerusalem. It was a much larger city than Jerusalem, and it would become a center for many Christian missions going out of it. But there's a very important story for us to read as to how the church in Antioch really started and how the Gentiles were reached and became part of the church. And the first time the disciples are referred to as Christians. We'll read today in Acts 11, in verse 19. It says, "Now those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus." Let's stop here for a minute. Just a couple months ago, I got to preach on what happened after the stoning of Stephen and how the gospel began to spread as a result of that persecution. And as we were going through that passage in Acts 8, the gospel goes beyond Judea to Samaria. We saw Philip preach the gospel to the Ethiopian. He preaches the gospel in towns from Azotus to Caesarea. The gospel goes to Lydda and Joppa, likely through Philip, but also through Peter. But it went further than this. The disciples were greatly scattered by this persecution. And a fuller completion of the mission of God occurs. They don't just go to Samaria, but they're going to the ends of the earth to see that the promise to Abraham being fulfilled, that all the nations of the world will be blessed, that through his descendants, Jesus came. And all these nations would have the opportunity to come to Jesus. The Gentiles and Jews alike would come to Jesus. There's been this great scattering of disciples going throughout. They're speaking the gospel to Jews, but only to Jews. And then men from Cyprus and Cyrene, from places that seem a bit far off from Antioch, they come to Antioch, led by the Spirit, and they begin preaching to the Greeks also. They begin proclaiming the good news about Jesus. I kind of have this picture in my mind of the Jerusalem church, of many others going out, holding on to the gospel like it's a surprise. Like, yes, it's good news, but I'm not sure if those Gentiles would respond in the right way and do things the right way. But then with excitement, those from Cyrene and Cyprus just go out and share the good news, not caring to wait and make sure the response would be right, but trusting in the Spirit to work. And what does it say? Is this what they're really supposed to do? What's God's reaction to them speaking? What's God's reaction to the gospel going forth from the men of Cyprus and Cyrene to the Greeks in Antioch? It says in verse 21, "The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And large numbers of people were added to the Lord." As they began to share the gospel with the Greeks, it wasn't just a small amount of people that came to the Lord. God was showing clearly he wasn't shutting out the Gentiles, but grew the number of them following him incredibly. So much so that news had reached the church in Jerusalem. When Tim Keller preached on this passage, he talked about how this is when the gospel and the mission finally really flourished, and the disciples rapidly grew in numbers. That it was meant to go to the cities, and there in the city the work of the gospel would truly thrive. That it thrives in a place of large amounts of people, with many different people groups and religions there. Keller explains that in a place that many would think it wouldn't thrive, the gospel thrives. The gospel goes forth despite the sins and false gods of the Greeks, and so many things that would appear to hinder the gospel. Despite the opinions of the Jewish Christians who might not want it to go and be spread to the Gentiles. Despite this, it cannot be stopped. In the fullness of God's mission, both Jews and Gentiles all over the world are justified by faith in Jesus. They're all meant to come to Him. And as we continue throughout Acts, we'll see greater expansion of the church among the Gentiles. But going back to the passage, as I read this passage, I kind of got curious because it's not really specifically answered here. If at this point the Jews in Jerusalem had heard the message from Peter that they're not to call what God has made clean unclean, that they're to accept the Gentiles into faith, I wonder what is the reaction in sending Barnabas. If they sent him out to investigate what they thought might be wrong, or maybe they sent him out because of jealousy, or if they sent him just out of a desire to see what was going on in Antioch and that they thought maybe Barnabas could help. Regardless, Barnabas shows up. Barnabas, who was a man full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. He's described very similarly to Stephen. Large numbers of people were added to the Lord through the church ministry with him. So much so that he had to seek out help. In verse 25, then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. The mission in Antioch is going so well that Barnabas needs help. But Barnabas doesn't turn back to Jerusalem to look for help. Instead, he goes nearby to Tarsus to look for Saul. He seeks Saul out. In a way, it's all coming full circle. The guy who was a main factor in the persecution that drove these disciples out to this area, and through the Spirit, they were able to build up a church there with Greek believers. This guy who was a main factor in leading the persecution is now ministering among them. What a powerful proclamation of the gospel. What a great way to show the power of the gospel and the fullness of God's mission, that the enemy now becomes the friend, the persecutor of the ministry is now ministering with them. There in Antioch for a whole year, Saul and Barnabas, they meet with the church. They continue to do ministry there. And there's large numbers of people coming to the faith. It says that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. It's a term that we use a lot today to describe people who are following Christ. But at the time, it was almost meant in a mocking tone. They used it almost in a negative way to describe people following Christ. But this word, it means to be representatives of Christ. It means to be like mini Christs. And that's what these people in Antioch were doing. They were being representatives of Christ by sharing the gospel among each other, not just to the Jews, but to Gentiles. And we'll see that even the reaction to news that would come from Jerusalem is a way that they show as representatives of Christ. Let's go on in 27. In those days, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine throughout the Roman world. This took place during the reign of Claudius. Each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers and sisters who lived in Judea. They did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and Saul. As I read this, I find it incredible the reactions of the believers at Antioch. The fullness of God's mission makes room for the Gentiles to join in the mission and meet the needs of their brothers and sisters. They immediately respond to the needs of their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. These are brothers and sisters who might have been reluctant to accept them. Some of them might have wanted them to adapt to their Jewish customs or get out. It's a council at Jerusalem that it's debated whether the disciples in Antioch can truly be disciples without being circumcised and keeping the law. It's a Jewish group of believers from a party of the Pharisees that want to claim that these believers at Antioch are not legitimate because they're not circumcised and conforming to the law of Moses. This is the argument that we'll see in just a few weeks, in just a few chapters over, we'll see in Acts 15. It's in this same place in Antioch that Peter is scolded in Galatians 2 by Paul for sitting with the Gentiles when just the Gentiles are around. But when the Jews show up, those high in status among the Jews, he no longer eats with the Gentiles. He avoids them. He no longer associates with them. And Paul calls him out for this, for not recognizing the Gentiles and their salvation as well. Salvation that comes through Jesus, not through circumcision, not through being a Jew. I love what the church at Antioch does in giving to their brothers and sisters, despite the possible rejection from them, despite how the Jerusalem church might want to treat them as new Gentile Christians. And yet they respond in love. This is the message of God proclaimed at Antioch. It's the message of God that's proclaimed to Abraham. The message of God that's proclaimed through Jonah. The message of God that's proclaimed even in Isaiah. That God is desiring all people to come to him. All people to find salvation through him. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. We get to know and follow Jesus because of this. We're not here today in this room worshiping God just because access to God was for the Jews. But we're here today worshiping, fellowshipping, because the message of the gospel was for all. Jesus came to die for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was resurrected that we could find new life in him. This message of hope was not just for the Jews. The opportunity to believe and repent and find salvation was not just for the Jews. But as we believe, as we make the decision to believe, he adopts us in, called us his child. We get to have faith in him. And not only that, we get to be a part of his mission. The fullness of God's mission is not yet complete, and we get to join in completing that mission. The mission of God doesn't end today. There's not this moment that, oh, the gospel's communicated among the Greeks, it reached some Gentiles, and it just ends. It doesn't end in this room. We're not yet with him. We're not yet in the place of no more tears, no more sickness, no more pain. We're still here, and there's still work to be done. But it's work we get to do. I know so many times it's tempting to look at the mission of God to spread the gospel out and to get exhausted by it, because we forget that the power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. We forget that this is a mission that we are privileged to be a part of. We forget that we exist for this purpose, that we exist for work that God has established for us to do and created us specifically to do. At City View, we say our mission is this. City View exists so that Clevelanders together, including the undervalued, are made alive and are maturing in Christ. Are you joining in this mission today? Keller describes that the power of the gospel is shown greatest in the city. Are we seeing the power of the gospel go forth in our city? Or are we holding it back for our own convenience, our own comfort, and our own desires? If you're here this morning and you don't yet believe in Christ, you're not yet trusting in his death and resurrection for forgiveness from your sins, that you're relying on yourself to be good enough, this message of hope wasn't just for an ancient people. It wasn't just for the Jews, but it's a message that's alive today. God is stretching out his hand towards you. He's offering the opportunity to be adopted into his family, to be called his child. Will you take that opportunity today? Will you join us on the mission of sharing the good news in our city to turn this city upside down, that the gospel would go forth in it? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you just for who you are. We thank you that you saw us in our sin. You saw us in our helplessness to save ourselves. And you sent your son, Jesus, to die a brutal death on the cross. To die the death we deserved to die. And that before he died that death, he lived the life that we should have lived. He lived the life perfect according to the law, fulfilling the law in every way. That we're no longer bound by the law, but we can find true freedom in Jesus. We can find true hope in belief in Jesus, that it's not just offered to this ancient people, that it's not just offered to the Jews, but offered to all people, God. God, we pray that you would make us truly Christians, that you would make us true representatives of Christ in our city, that we would be ambassadors, representatives of you, that we would live like you, act like you, to reach our neighbors in this community, to reach the people around us, because the mission isn't over yet. God, we look forward to the day when we get to be with you, but help us as we're here to live out your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.